Let's pray. Lord, as always, we ask that you would open your word to us. Your truths are spiritually appraised. We, left to ourselves, cannot grasp your truths. The same way, open our hearts to you. Left to ourselves, we are prone to wander. We are not attracted to spiritual things. It is your spirit within us that draws us to you. May you speak to each one of us now. Feed each one of us. Make each one of us more like you. In your name we pray. Amen. Adam and Eve sinned. Man fell. And since then, you and I, people in general, we are prone to do stupid on stupid. This is a true story. Clerk number one was working at a 7-Eleven when a stranger came in, grabbed 4 6-packs under his arm, and ran out the door without paying. Then the clerk finished his shift and went home. Next day, different clerk, clerk number two, is at the store when the police comes and they're dragging a suspect in tow. And one of the policemen asks clerk number two if this is the person he saw with 6-packs running out the door. And before the clerk could even answer, the suspect said, "How would he know? He wasn't here when I ran out the door." Yeah. Talk about stupid on stupid. Stupid stealing, stupid on stupid saying, "How would he know he wasn't here when I ran out the door?" Why do I share this story? Because it's a picture of man. Man sins, which is stupid, but we all do it. Then man tries to deal with his sin on his own, in his own way, which is stupid on stupid. So turn with me, if you will, to our text. We are in Genesis 3, 7 through 13. Turn with me, if you will, to our text, and I'll show you what I mean. Adam and Eve, as you know, ate the forbidden fruit. That was stupid. But look at what they did afterwards. That was stupid on stupid. So first, what did they try to do? They tried to cover up their sin. Verse 3:7, after they ate of the forbidden fruit and they realized they were in a predicament, then verse 7, the eyes of both were open and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. What? Talk about an ill-conceived cover-up? Did Adam and Eve think God wasn't able to see right through their attempt to cover up their sin? Stupid on stupid. Do you and I ever try to cover up our sin or our offenses? A babysitter was taking care of 3-year-old Daniel and his younger brother when she heard the little brother start to cry. So the babysitter asked 3-year-old Daniel, "What happened? What's wrong with your brother?" Daniel said, "Well, I pushed him off the slide." And then Daniel saw the reaction of the babysitter and began to realize that he's probably in trouble. So then he said, "But really, I think his molars are coming in." Trying to cover up his sin. We all do it, don't we? A kid breaks a vase, he sweeps up all the glass, puts it in the garbage can, makes sure there's other garbage on top of it, and hopes his mom never recognizes that her vase is gone. We all do it. On a more serious level, people in prominence will have an illicit affair, and this happens time and time again. They have an illicit affair, and then they pay someone to hush it up, cover it up. On a national or international level, one country illegally interferes in another country, and then when they're found out, they disavow their agents and pretend like nothing ever happened. They cover it up. And man says to God, "Sin? What sin? What did I do?" We try to cover it up. Secondly, Adam and Eve tried to hide from God, and that worked out just as well. Verses 8 and 10. After they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Once again, we're left saying, what? Did Adam and Eve really think God couldn't find them? Do you and I hide from God and from others when we sin? I might have shared this before, I can't remember. But when I was 4 or 5 years old, I threw a shoe through our living room window. It was January, it was 20-something below outside. For some reason, Dad was not very pleased with me. I go figure, I don't know. And I knew I was in for a spanking, so I took off running. And I ran around the kitchen table, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 times. And Dad's in hot pursuit. And then I ran into the bedroom, a dead end, and tried to hide. There's not many places to hide in the bedroom, is there? I think he found me within 5 seconds. Running and hiding is common to man, isn't it? Think about this. With how many people do we truly bear our souls? There are certain things that we don't share with many people. The things that are most precious and private to us, we don't share those. We keep those to ourselves. And we have to know a person really well before we will share them. What are we doing? We're hiding that part of us, aren't we? In the same way, sometimes if someone finds out a secret about us that we don't want them to know, what do? We avoid that person. Because we're embarrassed. Or if we have treated someone really rudely, we've been a jerk, we sometimes avoid that person because they know we are a jerk. And so we avoid them. Sometimes we hide from God because He of all people knows that we can be a jerk, that we have issues, that we are broken. And so sometimes we hide from Him, just like Adam and Eve did. And then the third thing, Adam and Eve, verses 11 through 13, played the blame game. After God confronted them, they played the blame game. He said, God said in verse 11, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree and I ate." Who did Adam blame? Two people. He blamed Eve, the woman, but he also blamed God, the woman who you gave to me. So he blamed both Eve and God. It wasn't his fault, it was their fault that he did what he did. And then God said to Eve, verse 13, "Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is it this that you have done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent deceived me and I ate.'" Who did she blame? The serpent. "Satan, he conned me," she said. "It's not my fault, it's his." And once again we go, what? What? Did Adam and Eve really think that they could blame other people and not be held accountable for their actions? But once again, we all do it, don't we? From time to time, we deflect the blame. Not my fault, it's other people's fault. I can't help it. I'm not sure if this is a true story or just proverbial, probably the latter. But as a minor league baseball player coach was watching his center fielder have an awful day, he grew very frustrated with the center fielder. So finally he yanked the center fielder, sat him down on the bench, then he went out in center field to play the center field position himself. And I suppose because he was angry, you know, you get angry, you get careless, you don't always think straight. But I suppose because he was angry, the first ball hit him was one of those bad one-hoppers. And as he went down to catch it, it caught him in the forehead. And then a little bit later, fly balls hit to him, and just one of those things, one of those days, as he's trying to catch it, he loses it in the glare, and once again it hits him in the face. Then a few fly balls later, they hit a fly ball out to him, And again, I suppose because he's still frustrated, he's going to catch it, and he just, for whatever reason, just misses it and hits him in the chest. By this time, he's so furious, he goes back to the bench. He grabs the former center fielder and he shakes him a little bit. He goes, "You idiot, you've messed up center field so badly that I can't even do anything with it." We like to deflect the blame, don't we? I think it's human nature, but I think we Americans have this down to a science. We are all victims in our culture. We are all victims. If I am a 20 or 30 something year old and I can never seem to get ahead in life, it's because of all the bad breaks I've had. And it's never because I was not willing to stick with a job and make a go of it. It's not my fault. It's the bad breaks. If I'm a third generation living on welfare, it's the system's fault. And it has nothing to do with the fact that I might just plain be lazy. Not my fault. If I come out of college with $100,000 in debt because that was the choice I made, it's not my fault. College is just so expensive. That's the problem. And it has nothing to do with the fact that I made choices, poor choices, and now I have to live with them. And so on and so on. And you and I, same way, we sin and we say to God, I know I sin, Lord. But you have to understand, it's not my fault. It's so-and-so's fault or this or that. I'm a victim. I couldn't help myself. We're a lot like Adam and Eve, aren't we? Now, this isn't in our text, but how else do you and I sometimes try to deal with sin on our own? Sometimes we hate the one that we offend, the one we sin against. In 2 Samuel 13, Amnon, who is a son of David, he was madly infatuated with his half-sister Tamar, madly infatuated. Finally, he arranged for her to be in his room with him alone, and then he raped her. Afterwards, it says in 2 Samuel 13:15 that he hated her with a very great hatred. Before, he's madly infatuated with her, and then he offends her, sins against her, and then as a result, what does he do? He hates her with a very great hatred. Why do we do that? In a perverse sort of way, I think we do that so we don't have to hate ourselves. If somehow we blame them and hate them, then we don't have to hate ourselves for what we did. Other times we do exactly that. We do hate ourselves. Sometimes we know only too well what we did or who we are or how much we have fallen short. And so like a dog that's always beaten, we skulk around with our tail between our legs and we can hardly look people in the eye. Sometimes we try to pay for the harm we have done. The Bible has a lot to say about restitution. When we do someone wrong, time and again, the Bible says this is what you should do to pay that person back. And often, if it's a monetary thing, it's pay them back what you stole plus 20% or more. So the Bible has a lot to say about restitution. But there's some things you can never pay for, right? If you have a priceless heirloom that you've had in your family for generations and now it's yours, and I break it, I can pay you for the value of that heirloom, but I can never pay you for what it's really worth, can I? How do I replace the memories? How can I pay you for what it meant to you? I can never pay you for what it was really, really worth. In the same way, we can never pay for our sin. Our sin is just too great. Our guilt is just too great. Try as we may, we can never pay for it. Some people will simply try to avoid the whole subject of sin. We see a lot of that in our culture, as in the days of Noah. Many people just eat, drink, and be merry, and don't talk to me about sin. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to talk about it. So I'll live my life and be happy. Many, many people do that. Finally, there are some people who just try to man up, man their way through life. They know they're not perfect, but they are tough. They've got this. Or so they think. In 1998, a 38-year-old man from Jenkins Township, Pennsylvania, went to see one of his friends, and his friends collected snakes, exotic snakes. While they were playing with some of these snakes, a cobra bit him. His friend immediately wanted to take this person to the hospital so that he could get the antidote for the toxin. But the man wanted nothing to do with it. So he left, went to the bar, had three drinks, I guess. And all the while he's telling everybody about, I am a man. I am such a man. I just got bitten by a cobra and look at me, I'm still standing. Hour later, he died. Sin is more deadly than a cobra's venom. It kills us eternally. Still, some people think they can man their way through life and death. Doesn't work, does it? Doesn't work. Trying to deal with our sin on our own, in our own way, is just stupid on stupid. Can't be done, it's too big. It's like a tornado. If you see a tornado coming, what can you do? Hunker down and pray. That's it. You can't turn the tornado aside. You can't wrestle it into submission. You can't reason with a tornado. All you can do is just hunker down and pray for mercy. It's all you can do. And sin is the same way. Like Adam and Eve, like they tried to do, you can do it, but it doesn't work. You can try to cover it up. It doesn't work. You can try to hide from God. It doesn't work. You can try to blame others, but that won't carry any weight when you stand before the great white throne. You can do like we all do. Sometimes or other, you can hate God. Think of him as a tyrant. You can hate yourself, but again, neither of those will take away your guilt. You can stick your head in the ground like an ostrich and pretend like there's no issue. Still won't make your sin go away. You can man your way through life, be tough, but you'll still die and still stand before the Lord at the great white throne. Sin is like a tornado. It's simply too big for us to handle on our own, in our own way. We obviously need a Savior. We need Jesus Christ. And of course, that's the good news, says the Apostle Paul in Romans 10:13, quoting from Joel chapter 2:32. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And when we call on the name of the Lord, we're not just saved from our guilt, we're saved from the power of sin. We Christians understand the first part. We understand that when we turn to the Lord, our sins are forgiven. He deals with our sin in that manner. But he also deals with the power of our sin, with the power that sin has over us. He also deals with our brokenness, our sin nature, the old man, the flesh, whatever term you want to use. And sometimes we don't understand that. When I first was a Christian in my younger years, for a number of years, I tried to deal with the power of sin on my own. Doesn't work. I tried real hard to be a better person. I tried real hard to be the person that Christ wanted me to be. And I tried on my own, through my own efforts. It doesn't work. We need a Savior, not just to save us from the penalty of sin, but also from the power of sin. Sin is too big for us. We can't handle sin on our own. So call to him when you sin. Call to him for forgiveness. Call to him to save you from yourself when you are tempted. Call out to him. Save me from myself. Call out to him when you have made a mess of life, a mess of things. I need help, Lord. Call out to him. When we sin, our tendency is to turn our back on God, but we need to do just the opposite. We need to turn towards God. We sin, we blow it, okay. We all do it. But then we need to let Jesus help us. And when we don't, that's stupid on stupid. That's stupid on stupid. A number of years ago, Betty Traver took her children, hopped in her old 1956 station wagon, and set out to run a number of errands. But it was a clunker. She tried to start it, unfortunately, it didn't even start. She had been teaching her young children about prayer, so seizing the opportunity, she turned to her four-year-old and said, "Why don't you pray?" And the four-year-old closed his eyes and he said, "Dear Lord, please help this piece of junk start." Don't you love it? Nothing fancy. Just honest, heartfelt prayer. Sometimes I find myself like that four-year-old. "Lord, please help this piece of junk start. This piece of junk whom you've created, whom you have redeemed, please help him. This piece of junk that you love and have adopted, please help this piece of junk be the person you want him to be. Please help him to do the things you've called him to do. And forgive me, Lord. Guide me, empower me. Walk with me. Each day make me a little bit more like you, this piece of junk. And finally, Lord, when the time is right, take this piece of junk home to be with you forever." Nothing fancy, just heartfelt prayer. Lord, we do turn to you and ask that you would touch us, make us more like you. We sin. If we really stop and think about it, we sin more than we like to admit. We blow it in little ways, in our thoughts, in our deeds, in little ways, sometimes in big ways. And our tendency is to not turn to you, but to turn away from you, to hide, to cover it up, to try to handle it on our own and so on. Forgive us, Lord, for being so stupid. When we sin, let us just come to you and fess up. When we've blown it, let us come to you and help us, Lord, just to seek your help the next time. We're not walking alone. You've never called us to walk alone. But in our foolishness, sometimes we try, Lord. Don't ever let us stray too far from you, Lord, when we try to do it on our own, when we try to man up, and so on and so forth. Take our hand and bring us back to you. And Lord, how wondrous it is, how wonderful it is when we do indeed walk with you. It's not just words, but you do guide us, you do empower us, you do help us to be the person we were meant to be. Those aren't just words, it's the truth. You give us peace, you give us joy. We get to fellowship with you, talk with you, be with you. It's amazing. You are good. May we never, ever, Lord, run from your goodness. In your name we pray. Amen.